name is Atta Eboah-Musa Nzaku. I'm the co-founder and executive director at AgroEchno International Limited. AgroEchno International Limited, it's an agri-tech business that we're involved in exporting like African products to different parts of the world while making the value chain efficient enough to be able to supply those markets. And at the same time, have enough export earnings for the farmers that are at the other end of the value chain.
Hey, it's Kellen. And today on Diversified Game, you guys, pin pads, you need to be ready because you're always asking, how do I invest? How do I make a business in Africa? I don't know if my guest today needs an investment because he is king of agriculture supply chain in Africa. We found him on howwemadeitinafrica.com. We appreciate that website, but I have King Musa. So he may have all the money that he needs and you can just purchase things from him. But welcome to the show, my bro. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm very well. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on here on the platform. And what's funny is how, I mean, this interview, we slated it like over 3 or 4 months ago, am I correct?
Yes.
So it's interesting. And you know how God just makes us connect in very mysterious ways, should I say.
Very, very much so. I mean, it's perfect timing. I tell everybody, I try to be flexible because it's God's timing. But when I see a young man like yourself and young people are the majority in Africa, that means all the old pas and mas who have been holding some of the progress back. You know, those conversations we always have at home, yes. Or you catch in the bar or the barbershop. Those times, we're not going to be able to use the older people as an excuse because it's our time. So when I see a story like yours, I'm like, I just want you to tell the world, how did you get started? Because I don't think it was an easy, like no one gave this to you, right? Like tell the people, how did you get started in this business? Because it's not a sexy business. It's not like you're P-Square or, you know, WizKid. You are really putting your hands and your brain to work.
Yes. I mean, it's funny that you mentioned WizKid and P-Square, because those guys, if you look at their history, like they never had it easy. Whatever they're enduring now was, it's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of consistency and a lot of focus. And it's the same thing with me as well. You know, we're very, as humans, we have what you call fear of missing out. So what we do is when you're at a particular process in what you're focused on. So let's say like me now, for instance, I'm into agric. And it's very easy when you're in that particular process, and maybe the part you are at that process is you're really down, you know, and then your friend or whoever, you see that, oh, they're doing like massive big deals in real estate and they're making money, they're traveling on business class, on first class. And then, you know, there's a voice that comes in your head, like, are you sure you're actually in the right business? Are you sure you're doing the right thing? Are you sure you're not going to switch? So it takes a lot to be disciplined, to play the long game.
Yeah,
you know, it's very important to play the long game. And if you know what you are aspiring for and what you're trying to create, then you don't get distracted by what any other person else is doing in whatever industry they're doing. Because if you keep jumping all around, then you're never going to build. You're never going to build anything that's going to last. You may have one or two successes here, you may have money here and there, but things that will build, that you will last. Because like I said, we're into playing the long game, you know. And how I started was, I mean, I'm from a relatively well-to-do family. I studied I was supposed to be a career person, actually, you know, because I'm an engineer by profession. I went to school, I studied petroleum engineering, and at master's level in the UK, I studied gas engineering and management. So my career trajectory was kind of defined already, but there's something that my dad always used to tell me, because my dad is an entrepreneur. He always used to tell me that if you work for somebody, I'm saying this with a disclaimer, no disrespect to anybody that is out there doing their 9-to-5. There's absolutely nothing wrong with 9-to-5. Entrepreneurship is not for everybody, like I always tell people. We have been put on earth to give our own quota. Some people are builders. Some people are people that carry the builder's dream and run with it. So wherever you are and whatever your strengths are, please, is good. But my dad always could tell that if I wanted the freedom that I was looking for, I had to build a business. I had to build a brand. And so while I was in the UK, I met my current partner and very close friend now, who were doing the business together. We were in the same school. And he told me that, okay, you know, we're going to go back to Nigeria now. What do we want to go back and do? And he was working in a bank then in Manchester. We're all in Manchester. And I was supposed to come back home because I had already gotten a job in a big petroleum company in the Middle East, you know? Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, you know what? Let's just set up this business. And we got his elder brother as the third partner. And then we just put things together. And it's been a roller coaster, I'll tell you. It's not been easy. There's been a lot of difficulty. There's been a lot of times that we were like, are we sure we really want to do this? Or are you sure we don't want to go back to paid employment? There were multiple times like that. You know, there were times that the business was really in red of like hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know? But this is 10 years now. And I would say that in 10 years, we've been able to, because the dream was always that we will get an investor to come and buy a stake in the business, to take the business to the next level. That has always been the dream. And it happened last year.
Congrats. You know,
yeah, we had an investor pick up 25% for the business was valued at about $6 million. So they picked up like 25%. And we are where we are now. And that's our seed funding round. By next year, we should go into our Series A funding. And I mean, for me, the goal is to build a business that will outlive me. And then, you know, the business will say, okay, yeah, this guy was the founder of whatever thing. Because after I build this business to where it's supposed to be and I exit at some point, what I really want to do is, you know, going around and especially, let me use the word like teach or storytell to especially young people, because, you know, young people are so fantasized about running business, like the good side of running a business. Because of Instagram, because of social media. So all you're seeing is the great parts. Oh, this guy raised $10 million. Oh, this guy is flying private jets. Oh, this guy is sleeping in expensive hotels. Like nobody is out there telling you the full story.
Yes.
Which is a very important part. And also as Africans, I see that we are not telling our entrepreneurship stories enough. And why do I say that? A lot of the books that young people rely on are from different environments that they cannot relate to. So take, for instance, now, if I pick up a Jeff Bezos book now, I cannot relate to it because the environment he grew his business in is totally different.
Yes.
You know, the environment he is in the United States is a thriving capitalist country that aids entrepreneurs. You don't need to, there are certain things you don't need to do. Like you can go to the bank and get single digit figures for loans. It's so easy. But in Africa, it's 10 times tougher. So we need more entrepreneurs to tell their stories, because stories are what drive people. Stories are what give people encouragement, give people, build their resilience. And then, there are times that you're down, and when you're reading a book of like something that you can relate to, immediately you feel that that problem is surmountable. And that is that, and that's what we need. We're not telling ourselves, African entrepreneurs are not telling enough stories. And even the people that are successful, why they can't come out to tell you their stories is because there's a lot of government patronage. Like they didn't build any business. They didn't build anything. It was just, you have connections in government, you get government contracts, and then pam, 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 you're wealthy. So yeah, so that is just a brief history of how I came to do what I'm doing now.
No, I love it, because that's why I do stories particularly like this, because if you get on your WhatsApp at any time, if you are an African or connected any way to Africa, somebody's always being born, someone's always dying, so there's always a time to contribute. But you cannot give away enough for people to succeed. It's almost, books have been written how aid is dead for Africa. But what I want you to tell the people working in the Middle East, I've worked in the oil field as well, making, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, at least minimum $120,000. I want you to tell the people, for you to step away from that, and now you're, you have an investment, right? That isn't too far from that, if I did the numbers right. You walked away, said, I'm going to get off. We need investment. Because somebody would have said, well, why didn't you just stay at that job till you had enough money? Because you're in the oil field in the Middle East. I'm sure you're making, buku amount of money. But I need you to tell the people what you walked away from, because it was probably very comfortable salary-wise.
Yes, very comfortable as at that time. I just left school as at that time, and I came back home, and I think I was going to make about $8,000 a month after taxes.
Yes, that's after good. Tax.
Yeah, that's good money. And just to put things in perspective, it was not like I even needed the money badly, because like I said, my family background, I'm coming from I wouldn't say middle class, but like an upper class.
I don't want you to say too much, because I don't want them rushing to Lakey looking for you, or Victoria looking for you and saying, where is he? Because I don't know if you're single or not, but I know.
I'm married. I'm married for 5 years now.
Okay. No bride price for you ladies listening. Don't hit them up in the DMs or LinkedIn.
I'm married. I've been married for 5 years now to a beautiful wife of mine, and I have a daughter.
Awesome. Beautiful.
Yes. So, like I said, from an upper class family, and what I needed to decide at that time was, so my guiding principle has always been freedom, being free. Mm-hmm. And what is being free to me is being able to do what you want, when you want, how you want, at any given time. That's being free. Because, I mean, and that's why I'm also issuing another disclaimer. Nothing wrong with people that do 9 to 5, but I cannot do a 9 to 5 because as far as I'm concerned, that's not freedom to me. You have to clock in at 9, you must clock out at 5. You honestly must sit at your desk at certain hours. When you want to go on holiday, you need to take permit. You have certain work days that you have 21 working off days on your calendar in a year. And no. That I knew that was not for me at all.
Wait, you said how many work days?
Yeah, you have 21 free working days. Like if you need to take a holiday, 21 for the year.
My friend, some people in the United States don't even take 2 weeks off in the year if they get 2 weeks consecutively. So, you know, somebody was listening from this side like, huh? Wait, 21. Africa, Europe, they have better vacation than we'll ever have here. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah. We actually do 21. Yes. In Africa and Europe.
Yeah. Freedom is everything, right? Freedom is, that's why we're all doing what we do. And I know you keep being humble and nice about it, but I want the young people to say, I want to be free, because when you have to want it so bad that you're willing to become homeless, you know, especially as a single man, you put it all on the line to win because I want that freedom. Where does that come from? Where did you get that urge to say, I mean, was it because you could fall back on your family if it all went bad? Or was there something else where you just said, I can't do this work thing? It's like slavery. I don't mean to put it like that, because slavery is a lot worse, but.
Well, that's a very good question that you've asked. I would say it's a bit of both, because when you have things to fall back on, it's easier to seek, you know, it's easier to go on an adventure without being afraid. And I could flip it around and say, when you have nothing to fall back on and you know you don't want to go back, you know that there's no other way except being free. So for me, my experiences are different from someone that came from nothing. I wouldn't compare mine to them, but me, it was a bit of both. And like I said, my governing principle as a person has always been, I know right from time that I've always been somebody right from a young age that has always wanted to be free. And what do I mean by being free? Being free, as I mentioned earlier, is doing what you want, when you want, how you want, without limitations and without thinking about it. Like when someone tells you that they have financial freedom is you can wake up and say, okay, I think I feel like going on a holiday, and you know that money is not a problem. There are different facets of freedom. You know, you have financial, you have spiritual freedom, you have mental freedom. There's so many on all levels. So I'm not really talking about finances. I'm talking about on all levels. So for me, my quest has been, I want to be free. And being free, what do I need to do to be free? And I identify three things that I always keep telling people, that once you understand these three things, then you will be free. One, understanding yourself, the pursuit of understanding yourself, the pursuit of understanding others, because being successful, you must understand yourself, how you think, how you operate is a continuous journey. It never stops till you die. But when you understand yourself, then you know what your limits are as a person. You know what your strengths are as a person. And usually, a lot of people don't focus on themselves because there are certain roads they don't want to go down on that that they don't want to see. But it's very imperative you do, because when you look at yourself from the perspective of like you're looking at another person, then, and with no judgment, then you start to appreciate and accept yourself for who you are, because all the parts of you that you don't like is you. But, you know, we've been trained in a society where you only want to know your good sides, you don't want to know your bad side, but your bad sides are part of you. And when you understand your weaknesses or your dark sides, let me use that word, then freedom comes. Because when you accept something, you understand it. The moment you understand it, peace comes, and peace brings freedom.
Amen.
Peace brings freedom. And the same thing too with understanding people. If you know that people are coming from separate backgrounds, they think differently, they have different traumas, then you're able to navigate the world properly. And the third one is understanding systems, how the world works. There's a certain way the world works. You can't go into a system and try to change it or be emotional about it. You must, you know, like the Navy SEALs, they go somewhere, stealth, blend in, and go, you know, gradually till they take out their targets. That's how you take over systems. You go in, you absorb, you understand, you say, okay, this, I have to do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. Is when you have gotten to the top of the system, then you can sit at the table and say, okay, I need to change a few things.
Yes. And hold on. I can hear my audience sometimes. Somebody in Nigeria said, okay, Navy SEALs are good. Don't forget about the 72. That's the 72 Special Forces in Nigeria. They say they're pretty bad themselves. So
yeah.
We don't want any start any wahala.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Well, tell me this with, now, and congratulations again to getting the investment. With, you know, doing this, you're at the spark where it takes a lot of people. You know, the studies, the facts show 10 years to get where they want to get. Now you're there, but with that comes a lot of responsibility. Tell the people, community give back that you're doing, or one that you would like to do in the future.
Well, currently what we're doing, so giving back is both on a company level and on a personal level. And on a personal level, I already mentioned that I actually want to tell people stories of my experiences. And what my experiences is kind of giving back, because when I give back my experiences, then I'm not giving those experiences for you not to make the mistakes I make. You know, people forget that everybody needs to find their way in life. Like, you cannot replicate someone else. Anybody that you see is trying to replicate someone else is a lazy person. Because nobody, even the people you look up to, have not figured out anything. Nobody has figured out anything. Everybody is still navigating through life. You understand? They may be successful financially, but in other areas of their life, they're still trying to figure out one or two things. So what I generally try to tell people, that like, if you see a very successful person, let me give you an example. You know, Bill Gates is popular. You can see his marriage crashed. He was a genius business-wise, but we can tell that, you know, relationally, it wasn't great. So that's to tell you that you cannot mimic anybody's life. All you need to do is pick the principles, the general principles, and then you now try and figure out the jigsaw of how you want to navigate. So that's what I want to do personally. You know, that's how I want to give back to young people, because I think a lot of young people, especially millennials now, are a bit in over their heads. Like, they're not in touch with reality. Like, you know, the toughness of what,
yes,
the, you know, the toughness, the life as Jordan P. Patterson said, Peterson said, is pain management. When you're going through life, you're just managing pain. So the pictures of what Instagram does of glorifying pleasure, comfort, easy success is a lie. It's not true. They're not facts. So it's very important that the next set of people come in, understand it. Now, on the company level, what we're doing is, you know, we have, the mantra has always been to support women farmers, because as you know, the agricultural backbone in Africa stands on the back of women. Women go to farms, women go to feed. So what our business does, aside from, you know, in the whole value chain, is to support the woman farmer, you know, make sure that they're well taken care of. And I know that since we started this business, you know, I know our women in that area generally used to earn about $1 a day. But what we tried to do was like to up it to like $10, $15 a day, you know, just because what happens in the part of the north or Nigeria where we are is, you know, the women tend to fend more for the family. And they're the ones that tend to go to the farm. They're the ones that tend to go to, you know, keep the family together, you know. So we have been focused on driving and improving the life of female farmers. So that's on two sides, on the company side and on the personal side. So like what I'm doing now is, I mean, I know some young people are going to listen to it, but so it's part of giving back. That's how I want to give back.
Well, on the personal side, yes. Have you started writing your book? Because it has to come. And that book might then have to be turned into a movie or a series. So
yeah, it's, you know, as you're saying this, is like you have been reading my mind, because that's the path I want to go. You know, right now I'm currently, I mean, I've had a lot of, I have a lot of manuscript I have. I'm presently working on with a writer that is putting all my thoughts together, because I'm not a great writer. I won't say I'm a great writer. I'm a great storyteller. That's with my words and all, but I'm not a great writer. So I have someone that is putting that roadmap together. And then what I want to start doing is to be putting some of that on Medium and on LinkedIn as well, which will eventually culminate to a book, and then a book, and then a docuseries.
Okay. Can I ask, has the thought of, because I have a gift. I try not to read too much of your mind, but when I see your series, I mean, this thing is ongoing, and sometimes you can think faster than you can produce. Even, you know, Tyler Perry, Dr. Nkang Stevens in Cameroon, everybody wants to do more. And that's why, again, podcasting, whether it's audio or video, it allows you to connect with the audience, because we don't know when our days end, right? Most of us don't. Some of us, like Idi Amin, we know, okay, we have 79 more years on this earth. But a podcast giving that advice when they need it now, because I'm telling you, you are spot on. I talk to the youth, I talk to the young people, I manage influencers, I manage young and old. And the young people, they tell me, oh, that $45,000 that came this month for me TikToking or whatever they were doing, that's always going to be here. And I'm like, no, I've seen the internet come and go with businesses. So you need to plan now. But that $45,000, even if you're in Africa, can take you a long way to get into another business. You have to think beyond what you're doing now. It's chess, right? So podcasting, book, docuseries, you guys, you have to stay tuned because he's telling you what you need to hear. This might not be the sexiest thing where he's saying, oh, I made $1 billion yesterday. But anybody telling you that is either lying or I guarantee they won't be able to keep it, like Kanye, because their mind isn't mature yet. So let me ask you, with your dad being an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
is he still alive and is he still able to give you advice in business?
Yes, he's still alive and he's still kicking. And there's another important thing that I think I need to share, and it's good because you just jumped my memory now. So my dad is alive. My dad is approaching 70 now. Great guy.
Thank God.
I mean, when you see him, it looks like he's in his 50s. And I think another thing that people generally are not conscious or aware of, which is something that is also dear to me, and that's why I say you need to understand yourself. You know, the most important thing that you have is taking care of yourself. And when you understand yourself, what you're able to do is you're able to know how you tick. And I'm talking about health-wise, because once you're aware of your health, like your health side, like let me give you an instance, I don't know how many people that are listening to me have checked their blood pressures today. I know for a fact that people don't even check it, except when they, you know, there's an emergency, I need to check my blood pressure. But you see, the thing that you have within your control is your health and your biology. Once you hack that, you're good to go. Because once your health starts to fail you, then all the dreams and all the things that you want to accomplish in life is second fiddle. Do you understand? Stuff like running a full physical on yourself every year, checking how your heart is doing, how your liver is doing, how your kidneys are doing, you know, going to run tests on the kind of food that you eat. And if it's not fit enough for your body, that's why it irritates your gut. And that's why you're always going to the toilet. Because you see, your health impacts your mind. Your health does impact your mind. Take for instance, are you feeding your brain the right amount of food to make it efficient enough to be able to churn out the ideas that you need? When you wake up in the morning, do you go outside to take 10 minutes of sunlight to increase your immunity? Do you take a glass of water because for 8 hours of sleep, you've not had any water in your system? Do you take vitamins because you don't get enough vitamins through the food you eat? Because, you know, when you start to focus on your health, you now start to realize that there are a lot of things that you're not doing right that is affecting your health, because your health is directly related to your emotions. You don't drink enough water, you get dehydrated and you get irritable and you get angry and you can't think. You shut down. So it's very important to be aware and be conscious of your health as a person. And why this relates to when you called my dad is that my dad looks 50, but he's 70. And I know for a fact that my dad, out of all his friends, is that with his health, he has tried to be as proactive as he can. Running tests, you know, eating right, because you know your health is at three forms. There's the emotional side, there's what you put in your body, and there's also the physical side of it. You know, we're more in tune with the health, with the food and the physical side, but we're not in tune with the emotions, because stuff like keeping grudges, for instance, it affects your health. It doesn't make you think. It keeps you, you're panicked, you're anxious, and you can't think clearly. So these are also aspects that I think that young people don't think about. You know, like what you're mentioning. Oh, I have $45,000 to always be there. You may not be alive tomorrow.
Let me ask you a question though, because your president gets a lot of flack for going to get his, you know, yearly checkup in London. But I always tell people, if you've never been in a position, you don't always know how things work when you're at a different level. And and there are, you know, even here in America, when people say that, I say, do you know that there's a health physical that is worth, you have to pay $10,000. Damon John of FUBU of Shark Tank. He taught us this, that he found cancer early because he got an executive physical. I don't know in Africa if you can get an executive physical in the same light. But what do you think about that? Because he's being proactive with his health. But at the same time, people are saying, well, why don't you make the hospitals here as good as in London? And it's just, you know, what you're saying to me, if I can afford it, I'm going to pay it. Right. And I can't worry if the other people can't afford it. So I'm just curious in that presence, because your president, too, is staying healthy, and your dad is staying healthy. And I think it should be something applauded, because even here in the States, men are dying early of prostate cancer because they won't get their prostate checked. And it's like the number one killer for Black men, at least here in America, they tell us.
Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is, I run my physicals here in Nigeria. They are depending on what you can afford. You have facilities that can, like the executive physical you mentioned, you have facilities that can check that early stage cancer. You have all of that. The thing with Africa, right, is we don't have a culture of proactiveness or prevention, right? We love panic, and we love helter skelter. That's what we like. So there's no culture. There has been, you know. So if because we have government hospitals that can run you, because your blood is life. They can literally check anything from your blood. You have government hospitals that pay next to nothing. They can take your blood and check whatever you have. You can check your kidney functions, your whatever functions, and you would pay probably. I mean, it's not on an executive level kind of physical, but you probably pay like maybe you pay like $50. You get what I mean? Or even cheap, or you pay $50 or even cheaper. You get what I mean? But it's a matter of priority. That's how I look at it. It's a matter of priority. And also is a matter of what's important to you. So that's why I said that we don't have the culture, because if you have a culture, right, it becomes a part of your values, and then you don't see it as a waste of money. Or even though you don't have the money, you know what to do to get it right.
You know what to do.
Yeah.
And you're doing it. I want to ask you something though, and before, you know, we had, I don't want to take all day because we had the time, and I know it's later there, but I want you to answer for the person you deal with: big machinery, big systems, big money. Is when you guys started, were you bootstrapping using your own money? I know you just got investment, but were you taking out loans, or were you doing things on consignment? Because a lot of people globally, especially Black people, especially young people, they get intimidated saying, look, I need to buy a $150,000 piece of equipment, whether it's a tractor or a drill, and they just stop right there. You have to have some type of courage when you don't have the money and you don't have the guarantees. Like, how did you guys do like your first big deal of equipment, getting it from one place to another with logistics? Because anything could happen.
To be honest with you, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, it tried to break out for a second, but you're back.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, can't hear you.
Could you come again? I didn't get the last bit.
Okay, the part of your first big deal with a big piece of, whether it was equipment or the logistics of the agriculture. People, they say, I want to create a better system, a better wheelhouse, but I'm intimidated because the numbers are so big. So you're creating systems in supplying farming, which the equipment is expensive. So I'm just trying to see, how did you guys get the monies? Like, how did you structure the first deal? Because let's say you're just the middleman, you still need to make sure that that tractor from over here gets to over here without someone running off with it and it getting, you know, stuck in someone else's farm. Like, how did you guys have the checks and balances or the finances to do what you needed to do for that first, you know, deal or the first couple of deals? I'll ask the question again. So I want you to help an entrepreneur right now who they want to get into farming, or they want to get into something where they think, I'm going to be dealing with, you know, a $150,000 tractor and I'm going to be responsible for it. Or it could be a drill. But I want you to explain, how did you guys either get the financing or structure the deal to where, to make sure, you know, dealing with the logistics of things, that the product A was going to get to B without getting, you know, stolen, misplaced, because that's the number one thing people worry about. I'm on the hook for this money. And then and I think you're the perfect person to answer that, because throughout the whole continent, sometimes the world, people say, oh, 419, Nigeria, it gives this stigmatism or this negative, you know, but it's like Nigeria is booming and doing things that Cameroon and Sierra Leone wish and hope to do. So I'm just trying to get it, like a two-part question. How did you get over that hump of not being intimidated, saying we're going to tackle this? And did you have to maybe secure the finances, or did you have to maybe, for all I know, you had to deliver it yourself to make sure it got there?
Definitely. I mean, we're bootstrapping, and then family funded, because we had lots of family support. Because I can tell you for free that if we didn't have family support, the business would have died several times, because there were times that the business was facing collapse and then family would come in, you know, issue out the loan, issue out the bailout. So we that's how we first started. And then we now leveraged on family relationships to be able to get loans at the bank. And then we built gradually to where we are now. But let me put things in perspective. It's very important, because whenever you see, if you want to build something and you have the money for it, or your family have the money for it, then whatever you want to build is not big enough. Because if you truly want to build something remarkable, then none of the people that you know closely have enough in the tank that is going to take you to where you're going to. You need people higher up there. But you have to start from where you are. Start from where you are. And you build gradually. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not magic. You just start. And once you start, you know, there's something Jeff Bezos used to say. He said, once you know where you're going to, that's always that is important. The road may change. Certain things may change along the way, but as long as what you want still doesn't change, then you'll be good. So start from where you are. It doesn't matter whatever you have, even if you don't have any money, register the business, you know, start gradually. And the way God works is things, when you put things in motion, doors will open. That's how it works. But you can't just be like a deer in headlights and just freeze and say, oh no, it's too hard. I can't raise the money. I don't have the money. Just start. And like I always tell people, you see, when you are trying to figure out how to solve a problem, is that you are too concerned with the problem, and the problem is making you panicked, and you are not more concerned about the solution. Take, for instance, now you need to borrow money to start the business. Go through your phone book. If you go through your phone book, I bet you that you can find at least 15 people, like you get 15 people's contacts that, okay, I know I can ask this person for $200, $300, $400, $500. Out of those 20 people, at least 3 or 4 people will come through for you. That's how to be practical to find solutions. But don't just say, oh, I don't know where I'll get it from. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm giving up. You have the solutions to your problems are right in front of you. But we are too focused on the problems and why it can't work rather than looking for how it can work.
Yes, yes. And blaming presidents and other government officials for our own sometimes shortcomings. Politics.
Yes.
Politics is not perfect anywhere. And I think for time-wise, that's that. I'm going to pressure you guys to bother the king to say we need that podcast, we need that book. Because like you said, you can read all of Jeff Bezos, Mark Cuban, and everybody's book, but we need more African stories. It's something my wife and I talk about all the time. We have to tell our own stories to get it right. And if you guys don't do that, if we don't do that, I write books, and I need to write more myself, because we need to tell our story our way. Tell the people some last words and where they can connect with you. So when that book is ready, when that podcast and docuseries is ready, that they can find it and really connect with you.
Yes. I'm on LinkedIn. I don't even know what my LinkedIn name is. How about that? I think it's Atta and Zaku together, AttaAnzaku together. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can also find me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @AT_Musa, @AT_MUSA. And then, but the place that we will have some of these things readily available, which should be starting from January next year, is on Medium. You can also find me on Medium. Atta and Zaku is my name on Medium. We'll start posting and putting up my stories on next year on Medium. So any of these three platforms, you can find me and connect with me.
You guys have gotten the game. Now, the most important thing is to use what you've learned and make sure to share it with somebody else. It will change their life. You guys, be blessed.
Hi, guys. I'm Kai Gabiam from the Diaspora Channel, a lover of Africa. If you love Africa as well, and you would love to visit one day or to relocate to Africa, there is a course out there for you. And this course is My First Trip to Africa, a course well put together by a seasoned traveler, Kellen Cash Coleman. This course is designed to prepare you to travel better, which will save you both time and money. And the great news is this course costs only $20, guys. It can't get any better. Go right now and enroll to this course at www.diversifygame.com. Don't miss out.